Hey everyone, thank you once again for tuning in to another exciting episode of the Iconist Podcast, where the icon is. We're just letting you, trapping you on board with us. So remember, like, subscribe, and share. If you can find our show on YouTube, you can find it on all Podbean, all streaming episodes, whatever case be, you can find the show. Right? So we can jump into that. On my side, so I'm one of your co-hosts. I probably took a nap before the show, so I might be a little bit off. It is what it is. At that age. So as I say, I'm Barry 3D for Deep, Dark, and Delicious. You know the joke's been going on for almost 3 years, and we're still going to keep rocking it the whole time. On my side is my other co-host, the man, myth, the legend. And if you're not listening to him on Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, Monday nights, Saturday nights, Saturday love, you know, and that's just where, you know, he going to tell you where to find him. But of course, if you dancing because of him, say thank you. The one and only...
DJ Rod C. Welcome, everyone. Welcome in. We got plans for you. Yeah, I was quiet. I know the cue. I kind of just paused at that moment because normally I say what we're talking about today, but I will right now. What? No. No manner maketh the man. I forgot. Know the roles. Know the rules. Know the rules. Manner maketh the man. Let's go.
Right on. So let's get down to it. In honor of the show, we're going to get right as quick as possible. So remember, if you're looking to start a comic book collection, you need to go out to a store that can help you out, right? So for people out in Kitchener, please go out to Wild Comics, tell Wes and the guys we said hi. For anyone out in Cambridge, go to A Hero's Tale and tell Andrew and the guys we said hi. And for our friends out in Montreal, please go to Check Swings and tell Trevor and the guys we said hi. That's how you start your comic book collection. Add to it. Keep the books alive. Thank you, because the books keep the shows going with us. All right. On top of that... you can find me at fiery3d.com. That's my website. I post everything or where I'm going to be, and keep your ears peeled. Stuff coming up. You can't go wrong. Please post. If you want to find a comedy troupe I roll with at times, that is A Touch of Gray Matter. That is myself, Zulfa Lee, and Dave Sekulowski. We are A Touch of Gray Matter. Once again, you can find it through Barry 3D links, and you can find where we're going to be at. Please come out and support live comedy. Keep it going. Shows coming up all the time. Okay, Rod. Where can we find you?
Ladies and gentlemen, you can find me, as I say, on the World Wide Web. You can find me on Instagram at DJ Rod C. You can find me on the world of twitch.tv/DJ Rod C. Also, if you like, you can find me in the world of TikTok. TikTok, DJ Rod C 1. That's DJ Rod C 1. Yep.
What? On top of that, we are part of the Subculture Podcast Network, so check our podcast out. So it's our show along with five other ones that talk about various things from Star Wars to Star Trek, of course, arts about comic books, and we are all within that geek realm. We all have different shows and different schedules, but please follow it. We got a Facebook page, Instagram page, and all that good social media stuff. On top of that, too, we have a What's Up channel that we just started recently, so we're just trying to get that growing. If you want to reach out to us there, you can check us out, WhatsApp. Look for the in your channels, the Iconist Podcast. We're there. You'll recognize the logo, the little rocket ship. Why rocket ship? Because our collections are in outer space. No room in the basement. All right, here we go. And on top of that, if you, too, want to start a podcast, you're going to use what we use, and that is Podbean. If you want to find our show, that's on Iconist. Podbean.com. That's where you got to go. You know, see all our past episodes, download them. You can find them on all streaming episodes, networks. It puts them out there everywhere. You load it up one place and it goes all the way. So we're on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Good Pods, wherever you get your podcasts from, yada, yada, yada. List goes on. On top of it, we can forget another friend of the show, Mr. Larry Reclizado. He has a channel, Facebook page, Obscure. Forgotten, Obscure, and Underrated Heroes. Right. You see Larry on a couple of times. Larry's coming back again, so please keep a shout out to that. Join the page. You'll find us in there too, lurking in the backgrounds and posting stuff. So remember, be polite, follow the rules. It's about comics. Let's be fun. That's all it is. Okay. Oh. I think we got it done. No. Wait a minute. What am I saying? One more. Last but not least, if you need any graphic work done, you need yourself a graphic artist, there's only one man and one man you should reach out to, and that is...
J. Bird Digital Art.
Mr. Jason Reese, J. Bird Digital Arts. You reach out to him, and you let him know that you heard about him on the Iconist Podcast, and he will give you a discount on the work. Keep in mind, this is worldwide, so whatever you need a graphic artist for being from logos to your businesses and anything in between, check him out.
Oh, let's go.
Hey, I think we good.
I think so,
on
too.
On that note, Rod, on the Iconist podcast, Icon is...
The Fast and Furious spinoff?
Spinoff. Spinoff. Spinoff.
Spinoff?
As you can see right now, I'm ready. That's right. We're talking about the Fast and the Furious, and we're going to go through a breakdown. We know they are supposed to be slated to do X amount of movies.
Right.
And they are scheduled and booked to do X amount of spinoffs. And we thought, hey, it would be kind of interesting to kind of, you know, some of the spinoffs that maybe we want to see, hope to see, and drop some history on that. I'm sitting here because it's season. If you're a Formula One fan, you know that I'm a Formula One fan. And I'm sitting here in my Mercedes merch for those who are watching it. My official Mercedes merch hoodie from Lewis Hamilton, Team LH. Sorry, Sir Lewis Hamilton, Team LH. It's his last season with Mercedes. Come on, man. Get that other championship. I know people are trying to say, no, no, no. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. I know he's going to Ferrari for the year of 2025. And that means I'm going to have to get another hoodie in red with Team LH. Recognize, right? Needs, you know, but I know Max Verstappen is strong, but let's just see. This season just started, right? Okay, there we go. Got my little F1 out there because I'm going to do more racing stuff. This is why I'm excited to do this one. So we're talking about the Fast and the Furious. Now, you know the Fast and the Furious series is broken down to a bunch of movies over the years. I mean, if you've been around since 2001 going to movie theaters and watching movies, then you've seen a Fast and the Furious. You've heard about it. You've seen the references to it. You know all about it. It's boom, 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 boom. They started off as street racers, turned to Robin Hood, turned to outlaws, turned to spies, and then they went brothers in outer space and a Fiero.
Listen, I don't know what else, man. I don't know what else. Where else could we put them? I'm just saying, man. They did it all.
I don't know, man. So far, they've done land and they've done land and they've done air. They really haven't done sea. I mean, they fought a submarine.
I'm about to say they did the submarine
underwater yet.
Well, yeah, frozen water.
Frozen sea, yeah, exactly, right. But they haven't gone underwater yet. They haven't gone under the sea. Where I wanna be?
Oh,
the octopus's garden in the shade. Get it?
Oh, Aquaman. Anyways, I want to get back to that. That was funny.
I told you, that's what they need. They need a spinoff where they find Atlantis. Okay, before we get too deep into it, so we all know. Rod's going to kill me before this day is over.
No, merciless killings. Right, yeah, as you were saying.
They were over camera. All right, so as we're talking about the Fast and Furious franchise. We all know the Fast and Furious franchise that was started off with Vin Diesel, and Paul Walker, rest in peace, and how those characters really became that kind of Robin Hood era rebellious, the system, so to speak. I said, be from Barry, you see, you know, okay, all right? Right, the system. Okay, there we go. Even though I might have been thinking the other one, but yeah. And they started off, and who knew this franchise would have grown the way it did? Nobody seemed to speculate. The first movie came out. It was a no-brainer movie. You go there, you turn your brain off, you know, spell what you know about gravity, physics, and anything else, and just enjoy it. It was fast. It was loud. It was bright. It was like an anime, movie at one point. Very animated, right? With the graphics and all that. I have to say, they did an amazing job. This came across, as I said, kicked off in 2001, right? We got the Fast and Furious. 2003, beginning of 2003, we got Too Fast, Too Furious, The Fool. Okay, there we go. Yeah, that's our boy, you know, Dwayne, that's his jam, Act the Fool. He was playing that the whole time he was driving on the 401. All right, there we go. You know, and then we had different things that came out in between, right? There was like a one that, you know, called Turbocharged, which I never seen. Might have been like a YouTube short or, you know.
I think, that might have been one.
Right.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, yeah, that one.
No problem. Then we got, you know. We got the Tokyo Drift, and then we got, you know, Fast and the Furious, and then, you know, Fast and Furious, and then Los Mandolinos, which was like a smaller project. But it really gives light to Dom's insight and how he hooked up the two Latino guys that were in there in jail. You see they kind of make their thing in there. So that's one, you know, if you've seen it, awesome. I haven't seen it. I've seen clips of it, but I got to go back and look for it. You know, and then there was like Fast Five, Fast and Furious 6.
Furious 7.
The Fate.
The Furious.
9. X. Right? Yada, yada. It breaks down.
Right.
You know. So, what was interesting, as I said, this started in 2001. We pretty much know the franchise. They started off as street racers. Paul Walker is playing a cop. He's undercover trying to bust a street racing ring because they are doing illegal activities, stealing parts. Let it be known, before I saw this movie, I had a Honda Civic coupe, black two-door sunroof, before the movie even mentioned coming out. So when the movie came out, I had delusions of grandeur of saying, hey, I can modify my car. I also realized that I need a budget to do that. So,
Yeah.
It was my first ride. What can I say? The whole thing had Taz stuff all over it. Love that car.
That's right. I remember.
You remember I had the Taz stuff? I remember. Taz, you know, Matt's Taz steering wheel cover. That car was, I should have been in that movie. I should have been in that movie. I'm a personality. I think so. So this is where that movie came out. It brought us in a world of how street racing could be. And then it got so far from street racing, whatever, turn off what you know about gravity and physics and science and disbelief. It was machismo. It's machismo. All right. But hey, Rod, so here's my question. And people listening and watching, did you know there was another Fast and Furious before this movie franchise?
No.
Here we go. We're getting back in the Wayback Machine.
Wayback.
And in the Wayback Machine, there was a movie called The Fast and the Furious back in 1954. Right? Framed man escapes prison and takes a rich woman's Jaguar with her in it. You know? She tries to escape numerous times. They soon develop feelings for each other and enter a road race that ends in Mexico.
Hilarious. Okay. Let's look into that.
Right. That was the original Fast and Furious 1954. If you don't know, now you know.
Now you know.
Right? With John Ireland and Dorothy Malone.
Okay.
The Fast and the Furious. And the only reason I knew about this by fluke is because I make jokes about this when I'm on stage, but that's just because of what I do. True story, I was in Canadian Tire years ago with my dad. He had to pick up something because he was doing some stuff around the house. And while we were walking by, you know, every place has their stand of old movies. Movies you can buy like for $5 or whatever. DVDs you can buy for $5. So I'm walking by the stand, and my dad turns around. And he goes, hey, look, Barry, the Fast and Furious movie. Is that what you'd like to buy? The Fast and Furious movie here, $5. I'm like, oh, sweet. And I grab it, and I look at it, and I look at my dad. I'm like, Dad, this is not Fast and Furious that I'm talking about. He goes, what do you mean? Same name? And it's cheap. Instead of cracking jokes, maybe it's a bootleg. I'm like, not a Canadian tire.
Not a Canadian tire. No, say it ain't so. Say it ain't so, Canadian tire.
Maybe it was some guy selling it inside of a Roscoe's waffle and chicken like they did Soul Plane. If you watch a Terry Crews interview with Club Shay Shay, you know what I'm talking about. Right? then you know. But no. So I didn't know that there was an original Fast and Furious movie, and that was the storyline. Escape convicts. Okay. So let's look at the parallels right now, right? So both of them, outlaws.
Mm-hmm.
There's a love interest. Join a race. And it ends in Mexico. So his whole thing is kidnaps a girl because he wants the car, doesn't want to escape, doesn't want to go back to jail. Stockholm Syndrome situation kind of happens. Next thing you know, they're doing a race. I have to watch this. And the whole thing is getting to Mexico. Why? Because there's no extradition treaty, you know, in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is Dom trying to do? He does something, gets busted. Him and Paul look at each other. He's like, hey, man, if you can make it past the thing, what are you doing? I'm going down to Mexico. I want to go to Brazil.
Nice.
Right? Like, okay. I got to call that out.
Oh, good call. Now I got to look into that. Now, you keep going. I want to see if there's actually a reference on that from Wikipedia, but keep going.
Yeah, no problem. I don't think there's a reference on it, but this is what we're talking about. So first of all, people turn around and people might say, oh, I can't believe they did this. I can't believe they fought a sub. I can't believe they sent him in outer space. I can't believe they got away from street racing. Okay, but it's still just a good, you know, eat popcorn, action movie, over the top. Movies are nuts. Sometimes movies make you think. Movies are supposed to make you feel. And sometimes movies are just supposed to take you away. Take you away. And this is what we're talking about this on this show, right? Because we talk about comic books a lot. We talk sometimes movies and anime and stuff like that. We talk about whatever we want to talk about. And sometimes it's just good to have turn the brain off. And this is where it's coming up. March is coming up. You know, for those who are going away from March break, hey, good on you. Get out there, enjoy the sunshine, travel with the family. You're good to go. But for those who are stuck at home and just want to turn it off and enjoy maybe some time with the kids and stuff like that, why not? Mm-hmm. First and foremost, what you need to do is take yourselves to Canadian Tire. Find that black and white copy of the Fast and the Furious. Then you make a stop at the toy bin, not the toy aisle, toy bin. I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. You stop at the toy bin because every time you walk into a Canadian Tire, they always have that big box in the middle somewhere with all the Hot Wheels cars thrown in. All right, pull up some Hot Wheels cars for the kids. You know, if you have young kids at home, pull them out. And if you're a grown man that likes Hot Wheels, keep a couple for yourself too. It's only about $1 something.
Right? Why not?
Can you afford a Dodge Charger right now? I know I can't. But can I find a Hot Wheels one for $1.25? Yes, yep. I can. Yes, I can. And I'll probably find it in my color, too. I'll find it in blue. I know Rod's color is purple. Right on. And there we go. See, I got you, cuz. I got you.
That's
your favorite color. And that's what it is. And there's nothing wrong with having that. I got a couple right now, but mine are the Batmobiles and stuff like that. Okay. So you go there. You do that. Whatever. Good time. Sit down, have a family night, watching a movie that's a no-brainer. You don't have to think too hard. If you miss a part of the scene because the kids are talking, what's it about? Street racing. He's got to be faster than him. Okay. Let's go. And
let's go.
A whirlwind tour and look at all the people that have joined this cast over the years. Right? Look at who is joined. I mean, let's talk about half a second. Tyrese was in this movie.
Yep.
Right? No, sorry, not Tyrese, sorry. Ja Rule. Let me go back.
Oh, yeah, Ja Rule was
in there, right? And he's like, hey, man, you know, if you win this race, if you get me and my girlfriend, and then he loses the race, and he was like, Ricochet!
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the last Ja Rule, I think.
Right. Well, that's it, because at the time, his music career was pretty hot at the time. He was going up, and he had a deal. It's either do the next movie for X amount of dollars, or go on tour and make beaucoup bucks. At the time, he's like, yeah, it's a street racing movie, whatever. He went on tour. Ludacris came up and said, hey, Luda, sorry, we could call you Chris now. We had this role that we wanted Ja Rule to do, but he just bounced. How would you feel taking more of a role in there? He was like, what? Okay, and, you know, right, okay. Yep. And he jumped in on that. And this is why his character went from just starting a race to being the tech guy on every single movie. And what's happening with Ja Rule? Well, he couldn't get into the UK to finish his tour, and with usual, 50 Cent has just been clowning on him that they got outgoing. And that's where Ja Rule is right now.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I did forget that. I did remember hearing about that. And I honestly did forget that. That's how the opportunity came for Ludacris to actually join the franchise and be able to at least step in and impress them as he did. And here we are. that was the second. We're at 10, seven movies later, working on the eighth one. Yeah, he's still here.
Well, wait. Both their music careers, I mean, what are they doing musically? Not as much as they did maybe back in the heyday.
Mm-hmm.
What's Ja Rule doing? Probably do tours where you can't even get into the UK because a couple of days prior they kind of blocked this visa. What's Ludacris doing? Well, he's, you know, responding to Cat Williams and doing some music, and he's got a movie coming out almost pretty much every year. He's got an ongoing paycheck. Okay, crack. And then let's look at it, right? He's got songs of, you know, Move, okay? Get Out the Way. That goes strictly, that's a driving song. If you listen to the lyrics, they talk about being behind someone that is slow. Get Out the Way. Okay, that's a, you know, he did the song Act the Fool. Okay, that was on the soundtrack. Luda's being smart about what he's doing. Okay, Muta's turned around and started bulking, not bulking up, but he's training like extra hard. So he's gotten into probably better shape now than he was at maybe at the beginning of his career because he's transitioning to the action role. Now, what's going to happen with a lot of these stars once this series comes to its conclusion? Don't know. But if they're smart, they've made money along the way. All right. And we've had, as I said, we've had Paul Walker. We've lost Paul Walker, unfortunately. You know, and I'm not making any jokes about that. It's just to show you how important he is in the franchise. And what I like is they have not replaced him.
Right.
In that world, he is still there. He's still alive in that world. They will mention him in every movie. You know, his character. And it's like, they might, you know, at one point they got his brother kind of dub in for him in one of the movies. They mentioned, where's Brian? Oh, Brian is just dropping off the kids. You know, when Dom's talking to his sister, it's like, hey, where's Brian? Oh, you just missed him. He left. There's a minivan going down the street. He's dropping our kids off at school. Oh, okay. Tell him I came by and said hi. All right, cool. And I like, regardless of what happened or what people think, I like that because it's still inclusive in that world, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that was really touching, and that's their nice way. So if you see these movies end, we're going to miss that. But the whole show we're talking about, I know we're kind of talking some backstories and giving everyone an overview of all this, is the spinoffs. So right now we had one spinoff that came out for sure, which was Hobbs and Shaw.
Yep.
Right? Or Son Hobbs. Which it was entertaining. You know, it was entertaining. We got Idris Elba playing Black Superman, as he called himself at one point. He was a super soldier, which we talk about the show a lot. I enjoy that ride. I enjoy the chemistry between the two characters, from Jason Statham to Dwayne Johnson, how they were from the series, how they were in their solo movie, and how that kind of dynamic changed a little bit by the end of that movie. So that was nice to see. And we got a little bit more. My biggest thing is, I think they were supposed to do an all-female cast of Fast and Furious. And that was in the talks. So I'm not there, you know, here and there. But I mean, I know they're slated to do two other side movies. So I know one of them, I don't know what the next one's going to be. But one I keep telling to my friends, and I said, hey, we have to talk about the show, is one of the side projects I would really like to see is on the Shaw family. Right now, the Shaws, you know, the Hatfields and the McCoys, the Shaw family has done a lot in the movie. So if anyone is like, well, Barry, it's Jason Statham. Well, no. Before we had Jason Statham, you had the other actor, Luke Evans, that came in. This is when Letty lost her memory and he had almost a modified fun car, you know, it was all, and he was racing around London. The actor Luke Evans was playing that. So Luke Evans is the youngest Shaw brother. So he's the younger brother to Jason Statham.
Yep.
Because of what happens after the movie, where he gets put in the hospital, he's in a coma, or, you know, and then Jason Statham goes to visit him. And that opening scene is where you see, you know, Jason Statham's in the room with Luke. Luke's on like life support or whatever. He's like, I know what happened. I'm gonna get this to you. You know, Jason's got that raspy voice. I'm gonna get who did this to you, little brother. I'll be back. And then they start to pan away. And when they pan away, you see the hospital, that whole floor, it's all destroyed. Any guards that were around are all laid out. They're on the floor. He walks out in a business suit. They get to the front of the hospital. He's got a nice high-end, you know, car in the front. There's like people in SWAT gear, or soldiers, all just laid out. One man, wrecked shop. And that was Jason coming in there. Now, Jason coming in there, once again, makes sense to me because I'm still seeing him as the transporter.
Mm-hmm.
He was almost that role, right? Brought into this world. So now, this is why I'm talking to Shaw family. So we got Luke Evans, okay, as the younger brother. We got Jason Statham, who is the older brother. And they go through their storylines. In Hobbs and Shaw, you realize there's a sister, right?
Yep.
And the sister is going to play Sue Storm in the new Fantastic Four movie. Okay. So we've got, you know, hold on, I'm looking up the sister, you know, the actress's name right now, because I want to call it the right actress name. So let's see here. And this is what is so cool to me is, so we've seen all potential. Oh, yeah. Vanessa Kirby. There we go. Yeah. Vanessa Kirby plays the younger sister. So we know right off is that Jason Statham has military training. He was doing black ops. And then certain things happened and it caused him to kind of be a mercenary, so to speak. The brother, once again, had some military training. Luke Evans' character had some military training. And for some reason, he kind of starts his own black ops group. Okay. And then the sister is totally straight. She used to be like a street hustler with her older brother, Jason. Jason Statham's character, you know. And they used to do these you know, they run some things in the street, hustling and stealing and how they put it, whatever. But then she goes totally straight, working for her another military, like black ops kind of thing, running her own team. And then she gets framed. So to free her, to clear her name, she kind of goes on the run instead of being thrown in jail. There's a countdown because of it. You know, if you haven't seen the movie, you got to watch the movie, Hobbs and Shaw. It was fun. But we've established that there is a brother, older brother, younger sister. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget, mom comes in there. They cast Helen Mirren as the mom. Okay.
It just keeps getting better. You can't fight this. That. You can't. You remember, I just mentioned Helen just the other day.
That's right.
She's unstoppable.
I can't
argue.
No, because you cast Helen Mirren as Madam Web. I was going with Jamie Lee Curtis, and you said no. Mm-hmm. Helen Mirren would be your Madam Web if you had to do a proper fan cast of it. Okay, this Helen Mirren from Red. Because I know her from Excalibur, the original movie back from the 1987 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or 1981. Sorry, 1981, I think it was. So, yes, Helen Mirren. So now, at the caliber of this family that you just built up, because Fast and Furious is all about family. This is why you got to sit there and you watch it with family, because it does have that, you know, borderline, you know, undertone of it's all about family. You're in it for a pound and a penny. And I think that's cool, especially in this day and age, regardless if it's a movie. Family first, right? You got to help family. Family got to be there for you because of you. Who else will be there for you? Family. There we go. I know I just sound like Vin Diesel in there. The whole family. You know, I think I said more than he does in a full series, right? Yeah. In all these movies. So I'm intrigued by this, which brings me to one question. You can't have kids. You can't have, if you got the mother, you need the father. In all these movies, they've never mentioned dad. I mean, they've mentioned dad, but they've never given him a name.
Mm-hmm.
They've never seen a picture of him. There is no cast as him. This is what I'm saying. As a spinoff movie, I would love to see one, the Shaw family.
Okay.
You know, spinoff from Fast and Furious. And the main reason they all have to pull together is because dad got into a little bit of trouble. Right? Okay. I say a little bit. I mean, it's got to be a lot of trouble, because if you got to bring in all three kids and the wife.
It's a possible international incident. And I'll just throw in a little seasoning. If Shaw, older, younger, and the daughter, you say she's a straight man. She has her wits about her. And we know the mother has her wits about her. What would make you think that the father wasn't as keen as well? Why? What would make you not think that that person was into some type of high military espionage, type of MI6, MI5, MI4.2, something that so deep that no one even knows, and someone from his past is coming back for him, and now he's in trouble. And now the family, the Shaw family, must come together as one. Same father. Save father. Just add that to the mix.
See, now, I love how you're going, right? This is leading into my thoughts. Because, man, I see strong bloodlines. Strong bloodlines. Rod's there with me. This is what I'm talking about. So, to your point, they all join the military. So, the point, the mom has always been... The mom's never been military.
The mom's no, but she has been, the mindset of
Yes, but the mom's always been a hustler. Mom's always been gangster. Mom's always been the other side of the tracks, right?
Right, right.
Okay, okay. But the kids seem to, some at one point, all touch military. They had to get that from somewhere.
This is what
someone
I'm saying.
Someone had to influence them. So let's take a look, because this is a comic book show. Let's take a step back for half a second.
Okay.
What was one of the biggest romances that people liked in comic books maybe the past couple of years? Batman and Catwoman. This has been going on for the longest time. Batman, even though he's a vigilante, it's always on the side of good.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the show. The show is now coming to an end. This guy's going a little extra deep. Now you're going to say the father is Batman? I can't deal with you.
I'm not saying he is Batman.
No, I know, but it's a nice segue. It's nice. I saw him running down the hall. Where's he running to? Oh, good God, I saw where he's going. No! Okay. Yeah, please go.
Because simply, Batman, Earth 2 Batman, gets with Selina Kyle. They get married. She goes to jail. She pays for her crimes. She comes out. Bruce Wayne, Selina Kyle get married. They have a daughter, biological daughter, Helena Wayne, which is the Earth 2 one. Earth 1, regardless of how they retcon it and do it, they always bring Batman and Catwoman together. And Catwoman has been always a villain, borderline, anti-hero. She's never fully crossed over to hero. He's never fully paid for her crimes. But the attraction, the chemistry.
100%.
It's
100%.
You cut it with a knife.
100%.
Okay.
That's a good one.
So, the father, to me, I'm not saying he's criminal, but he fell in love with a woman that set him aflame and vice versa. Not a family. And probably had to keep it on the down low. So his superiors don't find out. Right. This is why you don't see him all the time. But then, of course, at the same time, the kids would kind of follow Dad's footsteps to a certain degree. Now, from what we see in the past, it always seems that the mom was more around raising the kids every single day. So they fell into the mom's line of work. But still, each and every one of them joined. And they didn't just join military boot camp, go through it normally. They went, excelled in it, and were all put on black op teams, special ops, black ops. They were the cream of the cream. They were like the Green Berets. They were, the Black Watch. They were whatever you want to talk about, special unit that's out there. Yep. They were like Delta. Yes, that's a hashtag to G.I. Joe.
Nice.
Okay. Action Force, okay, right. See? So, that being said, we still don't know who the dad is, and I want to find out who the dad. I want the dad to finally come out. Maybe all the time, because how she carries on, she didn't want to change her ways. Even though they love each other, he's not going to become good. He's not going to become bad. They still going to love each other. They'll still be around. And maybe that keeps the spice in the relationship. They're lovers in secret, right? Because she doesn't want to do anything to bring down his career, but she's got a criminal empire that she's running.
Well, that's it. Or in the reverse, in the sense of, so let's say, and I'm going to take this little pitch, because you're saying something. I may have said it. I'm sure I've said it before on the show a couple of times, or once a few times. I still like watching Castle. And the premise behind Castle is that he never knew who his father was. And until later on in the seasons and whatever the case, you find out his father was a super spy. His father was right. So the mother never knew. And he basically said, I'm still alive. I stayed away because I don't want my enemy to know who you are to get to me through you. So now I'm hearing this. It can also, honestly, you can even switch it around and say it that way. You can say it along the line that he knows, like, I know you're bad for me, but I'm really attracted to you. We're going to keep this on the down low for as long as possible, as long as I can keep it, and then realizing, oh, we raised three kids. Great. Snap. I got to leave. What? Don't worry, baby. I'll be right back. Don't worry. I'll be close as possible. Ooh, smoke bomb. Gone. She can't tell the kids for their own safety. She can't say anything. Mm-hmm. But she's basically saying, listen, Jason, you seem to have enough common sense. Yeah, you know what? You really are do some military. You just take all that pent up energy, go that way. Luke, you're about the same thing like your brother and like your father. No, don't. I didn't say father. Go. You go that way. The daughter's like, say, I'm not all like that. Yeah, girl, you just like me. You're a straight hustler. All right, let me show you the ways. Let me show you the ways of the street and that kind of scenario. But that could be it. The father could basically be, I'm too deep in this MI6, MI4.2 undercover that no one even knows about the 4.2. That if I come out, hey, ain't that the, hey, aren't you a Shaw? Don't need that problem. So to avoid all that, I'll be in the bushes just looking out. Family right? The wife all right? Kids all right? Okay, cool. There you go.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So here's my thing. But of course, now I need someone iconic to play the dad. I need someone iconic that's going to turn around and make me laugh. And there's one guy who I think would fit this whole madness altogether. He's an actor. He's a stand-up comedian. We've seen him on TV over the years. He's kind of slowed down and retired from doing stand-up. But funny as all heck, man. Okay. And I'm going with the actor Billy Connolly. So you know Billy Connolly probably from a couple of projects, right? Okay, so people will know Billy Connolly. Let's say if you watch the Boondock Saints, that movie. So they got the first one, the second one. The second one, he plays the father of Norman Reedus and his brother in Boondock Saints. If you watch the TV show back in the day called Head of the Class.
Yep.
Right? And it had Richard Pryor's daughter in there. So the first, it started off with Billy Connolly was the teacher for the first mm-hmm. two seasons, and then he was replaced by the actor who did Dr. Johnny Fever from WKRP in Cincinnati for the rest of it. But Billy Connolly is that guy, right? Billy Connolly, mm-hmm. picture this way as a family dynamic. Billy Connolly, Helen Mirren, Luke Evans, right?
My
Jason Statham and Vanessa.
My word. That's a nice run.
Right?
That's a nice run. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. That would be right. Like and Vanessa Kirby. Sorry, you're right. So Vanessa and Vanessa Kirby. Picture all of them together as a family unit coming in for a spin-off series on the Shaw family, and that will take you across the UK and take you a different scenarios. Right? You could be in London. You could be in Scotland. You could be in Ireland. You're going to see things from that part of the world. That would be nice that we've only touched on certain points. They don't even have to touch U.S. soil. That could be a full overseas movie. And what? Maybe, as you put it, he was high up in a spy black ops organization and just had to keep quiet, keep enemies away. Maybe he got some information that he's trying to make sure someone doesn't get, and they've been chasing him for years. Maybe he is a criminal and he's really more deep in than the rest of the family, you know, but once again, there's got to be something there. Give me Billy Connolly. Give me a script. Put it in. That's my for a Fast and Furious spin-off series on the Shaws. Make him. Yeah. I would love to see him and Helen Mirren on screen as husband and wife. The way the two of them are cheeky and the way they carry on.
Yeah. That's why it would be nice.
You know, all their scenes together would be seen stealing. All the scenes they do solo would be seen stealing.
Yeah.
Come on. Billy Connolly? Okay.
Yeah. All right.
So that's my thing on what I would hope they would do, right? Because they've established it, and these are that this is who really to me is who I'm invested in. We've seen Wayne, we understand him. The only thing we don't know is, you know, a little bit more about his wife, Hobbs. But, and that's still coming up. But for me, it's 100% give me the Shaw family. Even if they have to do an extra franchise, an extra spin-off movie, come on. Vin, give me the Shaw family. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
When those two work together to go and save his kid off mm-hmm. the plane, right?
Yeah, that works nice.
Come on, the two brothers got together, and that's not even with the sister. So can you picture all that whole family working together? Dangerous. MI6 don't know, they ain't ready for them. They ain't ready for the underworld. Ain't ready for them. All right, so I'm done my talking. So, Rod, did you have an idea of what you would like to see as a spinoff?
Listen, I knew you were going to go, well, you were kind of hinting and saying that about the Shaw family. So I had a feeling, okay, Shaw makes absolute sense. If you look back and think about it, the Fast and Furious, it's all about the Toretto family. It's all about Toretto family. His extension of families, that's what that is. So right now, those are two separate families right there. Mm-hmm. Now you start thinking about who's left. Who has enough dynamic to at least bring something together? And I will admit, it's kind of hard because everybody is a good filler in a sense for the Fast and Furious franchise. But then I thought, you know what? Bringing up Ja Rule in the sense of what happened to him and how he made the decision to go in another route and the person who basically stepped in to fill his shoes, Ludacris. Now, Ludacris, his particular part, his character, I've always liked because the IT aspect of it, being the person who's just very in depth and thinking about, you know, what can I do with a computer? How can I get, you know, how can I get away with doing, you know, all the nice nefarious type of things? So I would like to see something, if possible, with him and Ramsey, which is in the 7th and 9th. The female version of him working together, having something. But I can't think of an actual plot to put them together on because already on the show, they were already doing enough computer black ops, you know, and nefarious type of things already. So it's like, really, when, you know, someone would have to come with, you know, some good writers would definitely come out and come with another game plan and how to have them come. Maybe, again, it just came to me right now. What you call it? The Die Hard. The second to last one, when it was the end of the world type of one. And basically, so basically having them basically being the anti-terrorist, the ones who's going to try to stop and just always being like a step behind someone who's actually trying to take down the world. Type of scenario, which they kind of did already in 7 and 9 kind of scenario. So, I mean, like I said, Fast and Furious already did that. Now, I would like to actually involve Han in this. And that's where I'm getting, that's where, it's, honestly, I think, because you were saying they're supposed to do a spinoff. I believe they were supposed to do a spinoff with Han. Now, he to me will still be able to keep the Fast and Furious performance aspects of the cars into the franchise. You know what I mean? He still has a hold on to that, you know, out of Japan and everything like that, bringing all the fancy cars and everything like that. Again, he was at the end of the Tokyo Drift one. Mm-hmm. If I remember. So he was in there as well. But something like that, or at least a little predate storyline before what got him into Fast and Furious. What is a more serious story of how he built his empire? Because he was a known character. He was a known individual in the streets back in his days. I wouldn't mind a story like that, more of a pre-date story with Han.
Right.
So,
right, okay.
As much as I want to see if I can have Han and Parker, Ludacris, have those two stories intertwined together, I don't know if I can actually figure out something right off the top of my head. But I know as a spinoff, I would definitely like to see a pre of what Han was. And then with Ludacris, basically, because remember towards the end, he got himself a shop and everything like that. So maybe his shop is his base of operation, storefront looking like his, I still work on cars, exotic cars. I still have my money. I'm living the life and so forth. But into the ludicrous cave or whatever the case would be, all decked out, look like the Arrow Cave kind of scenario from CW. And it's basically all set up and he's ready to go to fight crime in his particular way with Ramsey at his side.
All right. See, so hold on, put a pin in that because I like where you're going, right? And here, I'm gonna help you out, man, because you gotta start it going. I think the whole thing should be called literally. You get Ludacris' character, Tej.
Tej Parker.
Tej, yeah. So you get Tej, you get Ramsey, right?
Yeah.
So let's call the movie as it is. We always know that Ludacris's character is trying to pick her up.
100%.
You know, Tyrese's character is trying to pick her up, right?
100%. In the last movie, want a triangle? We're gonna put a triangle on this one?
Give Tyrese a little cameo. That's what I'm saying, right? Tyrese comes in as a cameo at the beginning. He'll come in at the end of this movie. Here's it. It's going to be a spinoff, though, right? It's going to be a spinoff with just those two characters. The reason the spinoff starts is, you know, because, you know, Trej and you know, so Ludacris and Tyrese's characters are always going back and forth how to get Ramsey. Ramsey asked a very important question in one of the movies. And she goes, hey, you guys have always chased me. Let me ask you guys a question. What's my first name? And they both sat there silent because they didn't know her first name. Now, knowing Ludacris will put the energy to figure out her first name.
Right. So By any means necessary.
Any means necessary. He's a tech guy. He's going to figure out her first name, right? Because you can see she's almost adding it on. It's like, yeah, that's us. You want to take me out? Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'll go with you. If one of you can tell me tell me what my first name is. That there's a segue. That there's the segue because, Tyrese, he's too busy doing him, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Ludacris is going to settle down. So once again, this is all about family. So Ludacris will turn around. He will figure out her first name. He will call her up, talk to her first name. He's going to put the razzle-dazzle on her, right? Mm-hmm. And he's going to take her out on a first date. And this movie could be called First Date. Fast and Furious First Date. Right? Because it's now going to be an official date. Where's Tyrese's character come in? Because, you know, Ludacris could call up and say, hey, man, what are you doing tonight? Oh, man, you know me, player? I'm on the plane. I got some coupons. I'm going to take these girls to Vegas. What are you doing? Oh, nothing, man. I'm just going out with a date. Oh, man, you're going to settle down for one woman? Yeah, I'm settling down with, I don't know, Monique. Who the heck is Monique? You know Monique.
Yeah.
It's Monique. Oh, Monique, last name Ramsey. Bye, player. Click. And then you see the plane
fly. Yeah.
So Tyrese, that's his cameo, right?
Yeah.
And let them have a first date because he's worked with her together.
Yeah.
They both respect and admire each other. We know a couple of things about her character already and about his character. So his character, you know, he's the tech guy. He got fit. He learned how to do self-defense because, you know, he's getting into a lot of fights because he's part of this crew, right?
Yep.
So this is where his angle is going to be, and let them go on the first date. And the first date is not going to be a typical date because it's a Fast and Furious movie. What's the one thing that she's missing? He doesn't know how to drive. That was established in the movie. She's never driven a car. That's when they had the big magnetic ball and you know, Tyrese and Ludacris in the back. She's still trying to drive and she couldn't get it in the gear. Right?
Right.
So first date is going to be him in a high expensive car. Taking her, giving her driving lessons, but he's going to do it in a romantic way. You start that off, and then you bring something in, and it wouldn't be really from Ludacris's past. So you're going to have to bring in a situation from her past.
Her past. Yeah, yeah, 100%. It has to be.
That happens in the moment, and they don't got time to call the team. And then I don't want her to be the damsel in distress. It's just going to be someone's trying to blackmail her, you know?
And she's got to figure it out.
And now we bring in a new villain, and the villain can be, let's go cliche with it. It could be the ex-boyfriend. It could be an ex-lover of hers, you know, that maybe she took something from that's pissed and wants to ruin her and put her out there, but she tries to stay in the shadows, and the two of them are racing against the clock to stop that. And that leads into a proper relationship with these two characters on the verge of them being in a committed relationship. And what I mean by that, they go from a first date to, at the end of the movie, we are officially a couple. This is so-and-so. We have moved in together. And you know the projection for these two. And it's going to be wedding bells down the line. Which goes back to family.
Got it.
Right?
That's good. I like that.
You know, once again, I like that. And you know, and it could be like, hey, man, I'm going to marry that girl one day. And, you know, Tyrese's character comes in. He's like, you go marry. He's like, man, do you, you know? What's Tyrese's character name again? I can't remember. It's
Roman.
Roman Pierce. There we go. You're like, Roman, do what you do best. and Roman's going to turn around and Roman will throw him one hell of a bachelor party, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, lead to, that's what Roman does best. He show up and show out, okay? That's, so that's how, that's another spinoff that maybe people that's haven't thought nice about.
Yeah.
Those two characters starting a family. It still fits all the parameters for the Fast and Furious as a cool spinoff. And it doesn't have to be a series. It can just be a one and done. And if they bring these characters back, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
You gave Paul Walker's character a kid. Toretto has a kid. Hey, Ramsey down the line could have a kid and they could start their family. It's right. All about family and legacy. There we go. So I like that. Now, going back to what you said about Han, we know Han had a adoptive daughter. There's a girl he was taking care of. And Han went from street racer to almost super spy. And it ends with him reaching out to Shaw to help a situation, even though Shaw tried to kill him off. That there's a lot of tension that they got to deal with. But once again, understanding the roots of family, and you got to get, as you put it, a prequel. So we got to get into Han's past.
Right.
Who was Han's parents? Who was Han's girlfriend? Right. Who, you know, we know Gail Gadot was his soulmate until they killed her character off. I think they might bring her back. You know, I'm so confused, but yeah. So there's a lot of, because with the Tokyo Drift, we just touched on it in one movie,
and
then we saw sprinkles of it in other movies.
Right.
We never fully gone back to dive more into Han to see, hey, what happened to you after Zoom Dead to where you are, weapons expert, keeping this girl alive.
Right. Not 100%. That's why I felt that there is, or they already have it orchestrated to do a spinoff on Han. Like I said, there's supposed to be like two.
Yeah.
Like in my mind, here I've heard that before, and I'm like thinking, at least it has to be a Han. Han, at least that storyline, they're gonna have to at least dive into that, because like you said, they sprinkled on it. They gave some you know, showing us that Han was the big dollar, the big dog, the big baller in Japan before he came out to the West, and you know what I mean? So, yeah.
And Han, just like Han Solo, it's always been on the run. He started off as a big player, and both characters started off as big players and both rebels, and they turned around and they had to be on the run. You know, he still probably got people to answer to, because if you remember the Tokyo Drift movies, there was, he owed someone else money, and he kept saying, yeah, I'll get your money to you.
Yeah.
And he's going on this worldwide adventure. So what happens? Maybe there's a bounty hunter after Han. I'm not talking Han Solo. I'm talking Han from Fast and Furious. Okay. We don't know.
By this time, they probably, you know, again, everybody in the black and the dark underworld may have known of their exploits and realized, wait a minute, doesn't Han owe me some coin? Han, you owe me some coin. And you ain't coming to pay? I'm coming to collect. I'm going to go from there.
That's right. Han was running a gang. So what happens? He leaves. You know, because he left, he might have left his gang in dire straits, because it's like, hey, your leader owes me some money.
Right.
We're going to take it out of you guys. You guys have to work off his debt. You're his number two. Well, now you're running this gang and you're going to work off his debt. It's going to cause some animosity when Han shows back up. He'll be like, oh, what's up? And it's like, what's up? You know what situation you left all of us in?
You know, as he eats his little, you know, little treats. I don't know what you're talking about. Hilarious. That's a good run. That's a good run. You know what? I don't know. I know I saw this in Hobbs, in Shaw. And I'm just want to go back to Shaw. I'm trying to remember, like, what we're talking about. I'm trying to remember. Did you ever recall or picked up the notion of, yes, Shaw was a military. He has his dealings and everything like that. But I'm so sure he said a line or two that made you feel that from a previous life. So how did you get all this kind of stuff? Yeah, you know, previous life, I used to do certain things, something along that line. And it gave the impression of now Shaw is now going into the multiverse of being Jason Statham to being AKA Handsome Rob. Did you ever pick that up?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So I want to make sure I wasn't the only one. I was
No. But once again, they kind of took things from Handsome Rob when he was doing the Italian job.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They took elements of him being the transporter, the Italian job.
Yes.
Those aspects were there. Were they talking about him being, you know, in different worlds? It almost seemed like it was a shout out to the movie The One with Jet Li, where Jet Li had to kill off different versions of himself from different universes to then there was just, it was like a Highlander kind of scenario. And there could only be one.
Only one.
Right. 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 Gosh. You know?
Good. Good. Good deep cut. That's nice.
This is what I'm talking about, man. This is why I was excited to finally talk about it. I mean, yes, it's F1 race season.
Meow.
Which we did talk about before because we talked about the composer, Brian Tyler.
Yeah, right.
Brian Tyler. We did that like a year ago, right? He was a DJ. He was the one that put together, once again, theme song from da 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 for our Formula One fans. He did the opening for that. He did the music for Fast and Furious 5 and some other ones. Okay, he's a composer for movies. All right, man. Let's go. We'll link it down below. Watch it and then have some fun. There we go. So, Rod, any last words on the Fast and Furious
spinoff? Now we can end with an explanation point. Spinoff. There you go. Listen, you know what? We definitely made some nice headway, made some good suggestions and good ideas. You know, tell us what you guys think. If you guys have any other thoughts or, you know, some other characters within the Fast and Furious franchise that you think that could also, you know, merit a spinoff and put your take on them, make sure you put it in the comments below. As of me, listen, this was a lot of fun and that's definitely coming with some different ideas on how to just build on. And I like how just the organic way of just making a suggestion here and here, and we just be able to collaborate to put something together. I say it was a great time. What do you think?
Yeah, please let us know what you think. I said for myself, let's go this way. Ben, you listen to this? We want to be on set doing interviews. We want some interviews. We want some merch. Maybe some dollars. Okay. Jason Statham, the rest of the crew, if you guys are listening, Vanessa Kirby, Luke Evans, come on, man. We're friends of you guys, right? Helen Mirren, what? You know, some autographs, interviews. Come on. Let's talk. Please. Right on. You know, cause I'm all about the Shaw family. You know, Ludacris, come on now. Mm. You know, Ramsey, come on now. We're giving you guys a lot of ideas of how you could still keep within this world. Make some money, give something entertaining for us to talk about. Remember, you heard it here first on the Iconist podcast. So the icon is Fast and Furious spinoffs. And on that note, remember, this whole world was started with a pencil, piece of paper, and lots of imagination. Keep on dreaming. Lights out. Away we go.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Keep that way, baby. All right, we out.